This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You have to be strong in today's world.
Strong.
Keep your focus and
up.
What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams.
Hey.
Keep moving forward. Never accept less than who you are.
Live
your best life.
Hey.
Be strong and free. It's a hit back.
Hey.
With the hash of black.
Hey.
It's a hit back.
Hey.
With the hash of black.
Hey.
It's a hit back.
Hey.
With the hash of black.
Hey.
It's a hit back.
Hey.
With the hash of black.
Hey.
Back. I'm your host, Nahaja Black. It's a beautiful day here in the 242. I hope that everybody's doing well, that you're taking care of yourself, that you're living your best life now. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. I got my good friend, C.A. Nuri, joining me right out of the gate, and I want to welcome him to the show because we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. C.A., welcome to the show, buddy.
It's good to be here, Nahaja.
What happened just now? Say it again. Just one more time for the world to hear. Say, nope, gone again. There you go. This is powerful. Thanks, everybody. I got a lot of folks saying, T.A., fix your mic. I don't know what's wrong with you. I have a lot of folks saying they love my hair. Special thanks to the best hairstylist. I'm sorry, all bias, of course. I'm sure that your hairstylist is the best as well. But to Maria Alci from Prestige Transformation on Faith Avenue, go on Instagram, go on Facebook. Hit her up and just let her know Nahaja sent you, because you will be satisfied. You'll be more than happy with the outcome every time. Every person I've sent has been like extremely happy. Maria is awesome. So shout out to my girl Maria Alci doing her thing over there, Prestige Transformation. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The increase in COVID-19 numbers, of course, not just increase, but record highs. We've had a significant increase in deaths. We've recorded three more for yesterday's number. We're getting deaths with the ages starting as low as 20. And it is going from 20 upward, right? But the numbers now, the ages are lower. And that is very concerning, because the arrogance of youth, the audaciousness of youth, the beginning conversations on this, when we were talking about COVID-19, the beginning was that, listen, this, and shout out to everybody. I love my people online. Shout out to everyone online. I love y'all. And everyone listening on the radio, but you can't see the hair. The hair is legitimately awesome, if I do say so myself. Anyways, I took a station identification pause, right? So if one of these things that is the issue with this is that these high numbers, right? These numbers now are really including our young people, and it goes to youth. It goes to health, actually, not the age. It is showing that this virus is changing, and with the variants and all of that stuff. So it goes to age, right? So no one is immune from this. Videos are everywhere. Voice notes are now traveling. More people are telling their stories about how this virus is affecting them personally, right? And, you know, it is one of those things where we all have to be mindful that it is not about the age anymore. It's about the health. Females, ladies, we are in a large number of who are affected. If you look at it, we're outweighing and outpacing men with the COVID infections right now. We're definitely finding ourselves more so being affected. And I think it's also directly related to the fact that we are the breadwinners, right? We're showing up to work. We got to work. We got to feed the family. We got to take care of the family. And so that is very important, and we have to be mindful and take care of it. Alicia asks, you know, has anyone else heard that the new Lambda variant has been identified? Right now, we don't know if we have Lambda. We don't know if we have Delta. We know we have something called Iota. There was one Iota found and tested. CA, welcome back, buddy. Am I the only one not hearing Cecil? Like, you could hear you. You could hear me. Oh, maybe it's my spirit. I can't hear you, Z.A. So I don't know what's going on. Check your mic. Make sure you're not muted and all of that good stuff. Press the button on your microphone.
Yes. There's a button on my microphone. I'm not sure if you know it. It's a green one.
There's a light there.
Yes. It turns red and green.
Yeah.
You got to press it in order to be heard.
Yeah. No, I'm happy that we work with each other, you know, in these trying times.
Technology.
Technician. It's the technician.
This is why I'm petrified for virtual learning to return, because it was a rough ride when school was closed and trying to help the child with these technologies.
Well, I'm already over it, my boy. We have a lot to discuss today.
Yes.
Right? We have a lot to discuss today because we have to also discuss where is the plan for school reopening. We haven't heard anything else. We haven't heard anything about that yet. We know that Belinda Wilson, the union president, the BUT president, has been asking for that plan. Feels like we're back in a deja vu asking for education plans again. And we're a few weeks away. I think government schools are supposed to open at the end of the month.
End of the month. Right?
And we haven't heard anything from the Ministry of Education with regards to that. So that's something that needs to be asked and answered right away. Because I ain't paying for all them uniform again this term. I
buy one shirt. That's it. Just buy a
one shirt.
You don't want to buy a jumper.
Do I have to buy shoes now? Shoes just in case.
No. Flip-flops.
Socks. Socks. Mm. How do children lose socks? But I don't know. See, and you're rejoining me. We got Dr. Dwayne Sands also joining. Something that was interesting with Dr. Dwayne Sands, he mentioned in a presentation over at Atlantis, was the concerns regarding pregnancy and pregnant women with COVID-19. This is a very trying time for women who are pregnant during this whole pandemic. Of course, the challenges. I've had two mothers, a mother and father, with the loss of their twins, who felt as if they were mistreated at PMH. And that was one of the issues, that was the main central issue of why they believe they lost their twin children, twin babies. And then you had another young mother who felt the same way. We've lost mother and child during COVID. We've lost young women who were pregnant during COVID, and where COVID was deemed the reason of their passing. So, you know, a lot of this is things that we need to discuss. Pregnancy in this time is very, you know, concerning by itself. It's a happy, joyous time. But when you have to go to PMH, when you have to go to doctors, just finished speaking. CA, I know you know our good doctor, Dr. Susan Williams Lockhart, is presently in hospital. Dr. Lockhart has been on the show multiple times. The last time we spoke with her on the show, she was dressed in her PPEs, moving from one guest to the other. And so we have, she's now in the hospital herself, in Doctor's Hospital, in the emergency room. She's been there for a few days now, spoke with her today. Things are looking up. Her oxygen levels have gone up. She's now eating. So things are looking good, but she has her concerns. Wayne Monroe, spoke with him briefly, QC, and he is doing better as well. So people are recovering. It's not a death sentence for many. But for those who end up hospitalized and those who may need to be in hospital and finding no room in the inn, that's where it gets concerning for all of us. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. So we have Dr. Dwayne Sands joining us. We are going to hit on education. But let's now talk about, we know the Prime Minister is going to have an address tonight. And I want to lead with that. So we're back here now, right? The House is going to be called for an early, coming back early from its leave. I would say vacation, but it's not a vacation, right? They would not like me calling it a vacation. It's a leave, just a break to deal with. I'm going to do this, deal with the country. However, now, from that long leave, which would have been done at the 22nd of September, which was too far for a break, when we had so many things that needed to be done, CNRE, we're now going to get it, having the House reconvene tomorrow, a special sitting of the House tomorrow. And by all accounts, that it is to extend the emergency orders. Tonight, the Prime Minister is going to address the nation again. He addressed us on Wednesday. And many thought that the address was more of a sermonette and telling us of things that he will be doing, that they're going to do. So they were going to get the nurses, getting the doctors, 18 beds, going to look at more tents, etc. See, let me ask you, what is this? What are you anticipating from this address tonight?
I, And thank you, Vanahaja. I anticipate a stronger address to the nation. You mentioned before about the sermonette and how the people felt from the last address to the nation. I anticipate a progress report, from the last time the prime minister spoke. You cannot come back and say, well, nurses are coming. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you'll come back and say, well, the nurses are here and they are enrolled and they've been sent out to the various places. It cannot be doctors are coming. I anticipate to say that, if not all, that many of the doctors have come and they are being dispersed to the various centers. You cannot say that Samaritan Purse is coming. I assume that they are here, they're on the ground, there are people inside their tent receiving oxygen, right? You cannot say that the 18 beds are coming. The 18 beds are supposed to be here. People are in the heads, are in the beds. And in fact, we are finding new beds and stuff like that. So I anticipate a progress report from the prime minister, less a religious audacity, yeah. Right? And I anticipate some a speech of hope, a speech of steps
solutions.
Being tangible steps that we have accomplished, where we're moving toward, and also a goal plan and a goal post. We are here now. We have some frustrations at this particular point, but in next week, we anticipate that there's less frustrations, and then week after that, we anticipate that more things will be accomplished. So I'm hoping that it'll be a speech like that, where something you could bite in, some quotable moments, things that you can use, you know. So I'm anticipating that from the prime minister today.
You didn't like the sermonette last week? I thought we could use that. The Good Samaritan was a usable thingy.
It sounded too common. It sounded like I heard it before in the United States.
Sound like you heard that one, huh?
Yeah, from a different president. Different
okay.
Leader.
All right, yeah. Just checking. Not even Fauci. I felt like Fauci. No? Okay. So, CNU rejoining me today. Dr. Dwayne Sands joining us later in the show. Yeah, you know what I would like to hear, which would be kind of bold? Because there's an understanding, right? There's a kind of... I actually was thinking about this, CA, and I want to get your thoughts on it, right? One of the challenges, you would think that as the prime minister is a physician in this time, that he would be better able to relay. Now, mind you, he's not an epidemiologist. He, like Dwayne Sands, is not one either, but a cardiac thoracic surgeon and doc who's an obstetrician, Dr. Hubert Minnis, right? So obviously there are different fields of expertise. We're finally getting an epidemiologist. We don't know who this is. Do we know? Do you know who it is here? Because I missed it. You unmute yourself. Unmute yourself. You're talking to yourself now, buddy. You're talking to yourself.
No, I'm just realizing that two years in that we didn't have one. I thought we had one in the background helping with the decision making. And come to find out, there was never one. You know, we were doing this by ourselves. So that's a good thing. And I'm assuming that in this address, that too will be addressed with a name, and that person will play a role, an immediate role, in responding and strategizing on the way forward.
Yeah, because I think what is important is that the right people now take the bully pulpit, right? The right people now, not the bully pulpit, but be the spokesperson. The challenge that the new Minister of Health has is that he can't really answer convincingly a lot of questions. And so even then, and I don't prescribe necessarily to, I think it's best practice if, when we have people that are leading particular cabinet posts, that their expertise is in that area or that they have some skill sets that can work in that. So even if we're talking about logistics, if that's the issue with our healthcare system, in logistics, distribution of healthcare, administrative work, that you probably have someone there who can manage that and make it a better system. The challenge I find with the minister has is that he's not familiar with the lingo and refers, and he doesn't have the particular delivery set too. He's a preach as well, and not the set who could be happy with rebuke if the word wrong, but we digress. So I think that what we have is a challenge in delivery. Who do we trust to deliver the message, right? And then how do we grow trust if it's not built with data, it's not backed with stuff like that? I think that that's what the prime minister should consider, rehiring some people to go to the forefront.
Nahaja, and I hear you, and I conclude that you're wrong. The reason why I say that you're wrong is we have four doctors at the helm. Four doctors
at the helm.
Dr. Nakia Forbes.
Yeah, I don't know why they all of a sudden start.
Delano Brennan, I think that's his name again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Dr.
Oh, no, he's not here. Is he really here? I don't call him Dr. Brennan.
It doesn't matter where he's not. We paying him to be
here. No, but I don't think he's the one.
We still paying him. He has the title and he has the job. He's amongst the four.
Got it.
Dal Regis makes three.
Uh-huh.
And forget the last lady, who controls the D. Gregory? Anyway, who controls the director, who controls the whole gamut of things? Four different doctors, smart and competent individuals, the best the Bahamas has to offer. And yet, they are...
Why you say the best the Bahamas has?
No,
Dr. Forbes, Dr. Brennan, you're right, actually,
Is it the Gregory? The name follows the politician.
I'm not familiar with that one, so I can't...
The one in charge, she's in charge of everything.
No, you mean McMillan.
McMillan, yes.
But the Gregory, you had me lost.
I think she was on the family line, so forgive me. You know when you're doing genealogy and you connect one family to the next? But Dr. McMillan, my point is these are four of the most brilliant doctors we have in the Bahamas, yet we cannot convince persons who go on to grade six to take the vaccine. And you give them all the facts, all the facts possible, right?
So it doesn't matter.
You had dog and don't know where it come from.
But it isn't even...
Four brilliant doctors can't convince the grade six people to take the vaccine. Something is wrong and we need to find out what is the disconnect and correct that disconnect. So I heard you pointed out to the minister and saying, well, perhaps he is not competent. But it's not
necessary. No, I didn't say he was not competent. I didn't say. I don't think he should be competent. Right? I think it's a delivery.
The delivery. My point is we have four other doctors who are poorly doing this job.
And is it because what I know is that a lot of these doctors have said X, Y, and Z, and their recommendations based on information that I've gotten have not been followed through. And when one decides to step out of bounds, they get dealt with like a former minister, like a present minister was dealt with earlier in this term's tenure, right? You can't speak out of turn. There is also politics in this medicine and politics in COVID, right? So the challenge is, can we get out of the politicking and just deal with it? Now, one of the concerns that we had at the beginning of this pandemic was that the health team or the whole team surrounding COVID was too health focused. You remember that?
Yes.
And so they weren't considering the economy.
Yes.
Right? So there wasn't any balance. There wasn't any problem solving in this. Now we've shifted, I feel, more to the economic side. we've kind of moved away from the health questions now. The health side of this pandemic, where the concerns of the health community or the physicians or those on the panel are turned down significantly more so than the economic interests. So we never found that balance dealing with COVID. And so now, how do we get people back? How do we get people when we did the first wave, first lockdown?
Nahaja, besides the doctors I've called and the minister and the prime minister, can you give me another person name who is on this task force? Any mm-hmm. name you could throw out at me at this present time? You said you have an economics team. Just throw out a name. Any name you can think of and I'll yield.
So, sorry, and say that question again. I got distracted.
You mentioned that we have a task force who consults with the government. I mentioned four doctors' name, plus the minister, and plus the prime minister, the competent authority. I want you to give me a sixth name to say that they are part of this economic, or they are part of this task force, this COVID task force, to advise the prime minister. Give me someone new.
From the economic side?
No, you mentioned economics, that we're pursuing economics mm-hmm. and concepts and have, what the next word is, technocrats involved. And I'm saying that I don't know of any of those persons being involved.
Hold on. Okay, I'm confused. So you're saying give you a name of someone from the economic side or from the economic interests?
Other than the names I called.
Other than the doctors, because the doctors aren't economic interests.
Yes.
Give me another
person's name who is on this COVID task force.
Who is not a medical person, but who is from the
Yes,
economic side. Well, I gather for I actually, from the Economic Recovery Committee, I could tell you all the names, but I don't know about the COVID task force name. I don't know who's on the COVID task force name. I don't know who's on the COVID task force other than those people you mentioned, public health officials and et cetera.
You remember once upon a time, the prime minister said he's going to hire some social scientists?
Yeah.
And people was recommending social sciences from University of the Bahamas?
Mm-hmm.
Any of those person on this task force that you know of?
Do we name the social scientists?
I mean, we have a whole department of social scientists.
We have all of those, but you think they know the names?
But clearly they're not being used. All of that commentary is to say that they're not being used, and I am concerned. The Prime Minister promised us a task force, a well-versed and diverse task force, and I don't necessarily think that happened.
No, we don't see that task. They're separated. So you have the economic interests that meet at one table, and then you have the health interests that meet at one table, right? So they're separated. And I feel as if right now the economic interests are to some degree overruling the health interests. And when before the health interest was overruling the economic interest, there was never a balance. And so we had these extremes. Now we're back to extremes. And it's not serving the interests well of all of us. But there is, of course, the discussion of personal responsibility. I need to find a producer. Should I take the call or go to break? I just need to know before. Should we take the call? Let's take the call real quick. Caller, you're on the hit back. Welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. And good afternoon to your guest. I don't know
if
Dr. Sanchez is on. I don't, Mr. Nuri. I don't know if Dr. Sanchez is on the line as yet.
Not yet.
Okay. Well, what I just wanted to make one comment where you were speaking about if medical practitioners on the COVID-19 team speaks out of turn, then you can see what's happening. I want to highlight someone that I find to be operating at the most at the highest levels possible in terms of protecting their credibility, their integrity, and operating using the parameters of protecting the client as they should. And that being Dr. Nakia Ford. Persons were persecuting her for speaking to the Bahamian public. But that was the wrong approach to analyze what she was doing. If you find that someone who is responsible at such a high technical level in the medical field has to come to the Bahamian public, that should tell you something is happening behind the scenes where either their level of communication that they are having with their employers are not being followed or where their concerns are not being adhered to and they find it gravely necessary to come and communicate publicly so that it cannot be said on the record that it was not acknowledged, the health concerns. And so I want to highlight her and I want to congratulate her and I want to encourage her to continue to hold to the highest levels of medical standards, credibility, and integrity. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. I like Dr. Nakia Forbes. I think she's been doing her job and folks have just decided that she would be the one to beat because she's saying what she needs to say. The woman is, this is what she deals with infectious diseases. Maybe it's HIV, AIDS, but she's better equipped than most on the panel to understand and what's going on. And she's called the third wave before the prime minister and everybody else called the third wave. She called the second wave before everybody else called it. C'est la vie. She said, listen, we need to be more aggressive with quarantining, with testing. She said all of those things. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. When we come back, my good friend C.A. Nuri joining me. We'll be back right after this.
No matter how careful you are, sometimes accidents happen. When it comes to your auto insurance coverage, we know what you need. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we provide superior customer service through a quick and efficient claims department that you can trust to get you quickly and safely back on the road again. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas
for just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC Superfast Fiber Internet with speed starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or BTCBahamas.com. Conditions apply.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live. At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Back, you're listening to the Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My good friend C.A. Nuri joining me today. We have Dr. Dwayne Sands who will be joining us at the 5 o'clock hour. Someone asked if Dr. Sands is a regular. Dr. Sands, officially, after being there for being the brother I could call in a time of crisis, has officially moved. He doesn't know this yet. I don't think he understands this to family, to the family circle. He's my beige cousin. Whereas C.A. Nuri is my blue black
you know I was going to say something, right? I was waiting to see where does this
you're my blue black brother. You're my brother, boo.
Okay.
You're
in
my brother.
Family line.
He's my cousin. Okay. I don't think he can lend me money. So no. He ain't really being tight. You bring sauce to the house. We are family.
Just making sure. I guess I was getting concerned and jealous quickly.
No, I know. I don't think Dwayne lend me a slow 20. I don't think we there.
Okay. Right. Just making sure.
You know, but you and I.
Carry on. I'm good.
We're talking today about...
The list getting long. That's why you're watching.
I know, the list getting long. Sorry, but you know we. Tight. Boy, jealousy runs deep in them Fox Hill people. Boy. But anyways, C.A. Nuri joining me. We got a lot of stuff. Of course, record numbers with COVID-19. What are we expecting the Prime Minister to say tonight? We have another caller on the line. Let's welcome the caller on the show. Caller, you're on the Hit Back. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Nahaja Black. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Wonderful. Well, it's going to get better. I don't care what they say. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's going to get better. And even if it's going to take me to help to get that to happen, I'm going to work on it. All right? The topic is exciting and it is timely. About our healthcare. It's about one administration complementing another. You know, we've got three clinics that are not in operation. Okay. Yeah. They're almost finished, but they're not completed. Why I'm mentioning them is that because our hospital is overwhelmed, okay? I don't think that the COVID person looking forward to the future. You know, we're moving forward and progressive also. The COVID patient should not be inside the hospital. You know, because if I come in for a leg problem, or mama comes because she's got an arm problem, or our neighbor's got a heart problem, there's no need for them to pick up COVID while they're there. You know? So what I'm saying is that with all the money that we can find, those clinics that are in Cat Island and Rumkey and in Exuma, you know, we can find this policy and put it to work. Because we're all in this together. You see, when you're in the food store and I'm in the food store, we brush it together, it can happen. If we're in the jitney, it can happen. Even in church, it can happen. So a policy about prevention, I'm looking forward to the future. You know, those clinics can become usable. Now, where are we going to get the money from to get them, to edit them from there to Cat Island or from there to Exuma? Well, we've got friends that gives us police cars. we've got friends that donate stuff. So they can donate an ambulance, or even we can find money to buy these things. And also to find the nurses and the doctors. We have to make it priority to do so, okay?
Yes.
We've got a prime minister that is a doctor, and healthcare should have been one of his major planks for it going off. If he had taken those clinics and developed them, then we would have no problem today. You know?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting us share. And
thank you.
God be the glory.
Indeed. Thank you so much, caller. We have another call on the line. What do you anticipate tonight from the Prime Minister's address? Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Ms. Black.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing very well, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
I would like, my concern really is with education.
Mm.
I know that you, a part of your show, you're supposed to be dealing with it. But please
yes.
bring it up front. Because
yes.
we need to have the healthcare side of this well put together before the children can go back in those classrooms or whatever they are about to do. This is the second week of August. I am
yes.
very concerned. Please keep the politics out of education and take care of our youth of this country. Thank you, Ms. Black.
Thank you so much. And I think that's a perfect way to segue. I think let's segue to that point. Again, you can feel free to give us a call as soon as I go to the numbers and remember them again, 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4259. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Feel free to give us a call or text us at 422-4GR96. That's all I got. 422-GR96. That's how I remember the number. You're listening to The Hit Back. CA Nuri joining me today on the show. Well, let's make that switch because this is important. One of the things I would hope to hear, I don't know if we'll hear it in this address. I would hope that the Ministry of Education would have already had circulars that we wouldn't be needing having again the union president, Belinda Wilson, talking again today about where's the plan for education. It's as if we haven't learned much from the last school year, which speaking with my niece again, CA, and I think you remember this at the beginning of the first semester, my niece is always a 3.0 student. First semester, 0.03, could not get onto the platform, could not access anything with school that first term. Her final terms, she was back in the 3.0 system, right? Second term was 2.7 something, final term 3. something, right? So gradually seeing the trend. We know that there were tons of students who didn't make it back to school. Last semester of school, we were back to virtual learning because COVID had reared its ugly head, and now children were coming to school infected. By this time, for the record, the government was still had both parties, all parties campaigning. We were in heightened election mode, for the record, just so people get a sense of the timeline, what's going on in reality and people in la la la. This point here with education is frustrating to me. 2 more weeks left. Government schools supposed to open on the 30th of August. We haven't heard anything from Ministry of Education. Not one thing. Not one thing, CA. Not one thing. And we are on the 9th. Is it the 9th of August? The 9th of August.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And did I miss the back to school holiday on VAT? I missed that, by the way.
No, I didn't see it.
Okay.
It soon come.
Right there with the tents. So your thoughts on that with education?
I am concerned. I was reading up on Pfizer, and Pfizer doesn't take the 8 weeks, but I think it takes like 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not 4 to 6 weeks away if we're going to give this the option of giving the Pfizer to the children, right? So we're behind schedule, right? That means the kids would be going to school unvaccinated because it's not an option. And it means that the kids would either be at home. And we're not sure what type of equipment and program that is going to be impacted.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's going to be the ground game plan. Is it going to be a virtual or is it going to be a blended system? And how would a blended system work? Especially due to all the frustration we had last time, right?
Yeah.
Were we able to correct the issues?
Were
we able to find out what did happen to all those kids who were missing off
mm-hmm.
the platform?
Exactly.
Did we get a progress report in terms of how did the grades look? Did we improve? Did we go less? What about the equipment, the devices?
Mm-hmm.
But do we need more devices, new devices? What happened?
What about the teachers? Have we ensured that they have the equipment that they need, right? Have we ensured that they have gotten the medical? Listen, one of the challenges has been like this whole process is stress. For different occupations, the stress load has shifted or changed or increased, right? And one of those occupations has been teaching, where you've taken people from an analog system and made them digital and not accompanying or working with that system so that you can deal with the stress of the pivot. So are we working to reduce the stress of our educators? Because we don't want to lose teachers the way we're losing doctors and nurses. So there's so much that should have been happening here at this point. So much that we aren't hearing, it's very much, someone says, you know, the Ministry of Ed needs to stop these backdoor deals with non-programmers for the online platform and just use Google Classroom. I am with you. Google Classroom was perfectly fine, and we went ahead and spent money on something that, to me, is not worth the penny of what we spent when you could have gotten Google Classroom free. I'm just saying, I don't understand. 1 year later, and still talking about online classes not functioning? Yes. Yes. Yep. Still talking about it. It's sad. So, I think it's a disappointment. It's a failure, dereliction at this point of one's duty. And even when you talk about the vaccine, CA, what happens for those who choose not to take the vaccine for their
kids? We need to make the vaccine mandatory for teachers. They cannot come on that campus to expose my good child.
But boy, you're going to lose all kind of vote.
See, in Barbados now, we see Motley is now experimenting. Yep. And they've given the mandate to her attorney general.
Yep.
Create laws, find the laws, find whatever it takes to make it mandatory for everybody to take the vaccine.
It won't
work.
We
have an attorney general who is smarter. Wants Ivy League schools. See, you've got to understand. We don't have an ordinary attorney general. We have an attorney general who's
brilliant.
Ivy League.
Yes.
You know, going to the United States and beat up on those foreign children in terms of grades. He's one of the best we have in the Caribbean. And despite his record, but whatever, lost, whatever it is, but something different.
Yeah, But in theory.
Practical.
He's one of the smartest
lawyers we have in the Caribbean, in theory. He's supposed to lead the charge and present the laws. These will be the COVID laws and protocols moving forward. And I'm waiting for him to take lead and take charge inside this. And we need to call him out, you know? And
because I know take lead in what? Take lead on what, Cecil? To demand that everybody gets vaccinated?
Yes, that. Especially the teachers and the nurses.
You do know you could give COVID to your good child and she could carry it home and give it to school and give it to your teacher, right?
But she'd be vaccinated all the same. So she'd be straight.
But you know she could still carry it, right?
Yeah, but she could be straight.
But she still could carry it, though.
One thing I will know is it don't come from her or teacher. You know, I will protect it from one way or another.
Listen, I think, too, just on that note, and we have to get, now I don't want to get sidetracked, but just as a note, a short digression is that in the States now, you have certain vaccines are getting closer to being authorized, fully authorized, FTC? What do you call it? Food and Drug, FDA. And so one of those things is they're saying now, it's going to give companies the right to mandate vaccines. So private entities can mandate vaccines if it's authorized. Is the AstraZeneca vaccine authorized yet? You cannot call mandates for something that is unauthorized. That's something that has not been taken through the rigors of all of its testing, period, bar none. So they can't do it until that happens. One. Two. We can also go to where else can the government create some form of incentives? Where are the incentives? And I don't personally, for the record, I'm still not there with my children getting and taking vaccines when they're at this age, particularly my daughters.
I say make your child mandatory. Tell her
particularly that. And so with all of that is, what is the government? What is the government's plan? What is education's plan for parents who wish not, since they're determined that they're not going to make it mandatory, then you got to make sure that education is still responsible for them. So now education still has to show up. Education still has to show up.
Learn at home.
Yeah, they have to learn at home. That's fine. But they still have to make sure that they're learning. And that still falls on the Ministry of Education. Someone said give away houses and cars as incentive. Boy, I tell you, if you give away Acre Crown Land. Some people some people might do it.
Sign up.
Hold on, we got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the hit back. Welcome.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, just let me just say this, man, because, you know, it came home to me personally. So I want to say something first. You know, all I'm hearing is really a bunch of flattery from the leaders. I mean, the whole entire world. And, you know, flattery is excessive praising and to try to gain favor by praising. And in the Book of Power, it says, flee from those with a flattering lip. And he that flatters with his lips set a snare for his neighbor. One of my kids had a little headache. And I told my wife them not to go to that clinic. And they went out there. I came back and said, she had COVID. And, you know, I was waiting for the nurse and the doctor to come. So when the doctor called, my wife said, they said, no, sir, I can text. And they didn't even come, right? And just to say, if she had called, I mean, this child was eating everything in sight. Any pizza, sour soft ice cream, and everything, you know? And I'm just saying, man, because me personally, I know I ain't never take no vaccine. Because I know what time it is. Thanks for the time, man.
Thank you so much, my friend. I was trying to figure out, I might have missed a part of, the connection with the kids in the clinic. I didn't get that part there. But we have another call. Did you get it?
No, he's just saying that he believed that his person's got exposed when going
at the clinic.
Yes.
At the clinic. Okay, we have another call on the line. Caller, you're on the hit back. Welcome. Hello, caller, you're on the air. We may have lost the caller. Don't forget to feel free to give us a call. Someone says, I'm so glad that I don't have school-age children because I would not agree to giving them this vaccine. Y'all got to be bonkers. This drug is still in its experimental stage. I'm with you on that, right? So my thing is for kids, and especially with the girl, I'm sorry. I ain't there with my children. Nope. Don't care how much I got to go back to school, boo.
And Nahaja, another issue I find that we have yet to identify why Bahamians are so anti-vaccine or why they are so concerned or scared, terrified of taking the vaccine. Is it because it's AstraZeneca? One, is it because we don't have no options? Two, or is it because of our religiosity that because of our faith and for centuries we've been saying that the world will come to the end and that you'll have this chip and that you'll be forced to take some kind of serum in order to get to go into food stores, in order to go to church, in order to do these things, and that we believe in prophecy, and we've seen that this, because of our religion, we see.
Don't blame God for this extra.
We have behemoths who are terrified. They are terrified, yes, that one, they'll either turn to a zombie for some reason,
or die in 3 years.
This is the mark of some kind of beast, and that they don't want to have the mark because they're afraid that they will make it into heaven, and they sincerely, there are some people who are sincerely concerned, terrified to death that this vaccine is that. So how do you address that? How do we address that? We address it from the church. You let the church.
That's right.
You let the bishops them say it in the 666 mark.
But so the bishop has said, don't forget now. Don't forget. And see, this is where I say now we are in a weird place, right? We are in a weird space where we don't want certain things to happen, but are not willing to understand that not everything has a consequence. There's an opportunity cost for almost anything in life. There's an opportunity cost. You wish to have the opportunity to not take the vaccine, fine. But then there are things that the government must do to adjust to masses of people not getting vaccinated. If indeed they believe that vaccines are the way to stop or stem the tide of hospitalizations, okay, not infections, mm-hmm, right? That is the argument that, hey, we know that COVID can get COVID if you're vaccinated or if you're unvaccinated. The opportunity or the infection, the probability of you getting COVID-19 is higher if you're unvaccinated than it is if you are vaccinated, but you can still get it and transmit it. Hence why physicians were telling the minister, the competent authority, not to allow people to come in country untested. They can still be COVID-19 positive. But we digress. That horse done be dead. And yes, we know it ain't just Bahamians who bring COVID-19 in country. We's an island nation, by the way. Delta didn't fly here. No. I mean, Delta did fly here, the plane, with people who didn't have who were vaccinated and didn't have to provide a PCR test. But the Delta variant had to come to us.
Yes.
They still can't tell me who's patient zero, but they can't even tell me if Delta reached. But anyway, I ain't going to know. Hearing it all in all is that there are consequences to our decisions, to what we choose to do. I am all for freedom of choice. I'm a freedom of choice woman. You choose to live how you wish to live and live with the consequences of said choice. You choose to get married and you decide to get married to the wrong person. You can be miserable until you decide not to be. Yeah. You choose. People choose. So if you choose to not get vaccinated, just know that there are some things that you can't do because science data says that, hey, in closed spaces, you create a space where there can be super spreader events. We cannot have that because it's not just about you getting sick. It is about those who will get sick and will require free healthcare. Mm-hmm. We cannot turn away because we have a mandate to take care of people. But if they get here and there's no room in the inn, more people will die. That is not the goal. So there's opportunity cost here. So we can't get into the place where we're kind of crazy. We don't want to get locked down. We don't want to get vaccinated. So the government is just, when you have people on the porch at the hospital, oh, it's terrible. But people are on the porch because there's no room in the inn. And the people who are on the porch, they're saying 9 out of 10 of them are unvaccinated. So we have to understand that this is not no longer, look, I can't beat a dead, we can't beat this dead horse of whether a vaccine is legitimate or it isn't legitimate. Give the government some solutions on how do we get folks to, if not get vaccinated, then how do we get folks to stay safe? People are in the food store. We're not limiting that movement in the food store. 10 people in an aisle. Anybody checking the ventilation in the food store? Nope. Anybody checking the ventilation in the theaters? Nope. Anyone checking the capacity at churches? Everybody got to self-regulate. So if we have to take personal responsibility, you know, when you go to your cousin's house, your mommy's house, you don't know where everybody's been. That's a risky situation. Are you willing to risk that? If so, you're risking also count every cost. Mm-hmm. Buddy, if I get sick, I got to go to PMH. Mm-hmm. Can PMH see me? You ain't getting lifted out like the rest of the politicians and their rich friends, you know. Mm-hmm. You won't stay right here. Doctor, where Wayne Monroe is? Doctors?
Doctors.
Oh.
Private room.
Where Doctors S. Williams Lockhart is? Susan Williams Lockhart. Doctors?
In a private room.
Well, no, ain't private, child. They ain't all private. Ain't no room. Ain't no rooms?
No rooms? You got a share?
Ain't no rooms?
You in the emergency room? Share room at Doctors?
You in the emergency room? But you will get the necessary tools or equipment. That's the difference. One tent at PMH I wish I could share the video that Dr. Williams Lockhart was showing me. She shared with me with her tied up and all of these things on her face. And one of the things she shared with me was that, Nahaja, this thing I'm using to breathe is saving my life. I need this. I have to wear this the entire time. But one tent at PMH holds 10 patients and they only have one of these.
One.
Who is going to be the lucky one?
And Nahaja, I know you're going to the next caller, but imagine we see a number of doctors who have been admitted to either hospice or doctor's care. These are some of the most protective. I know Dr. Lockhart used to wear all these PPEs.
All.
Basically defensive and petrified of catching COVID, right? Mm-hmm. The extra gloves, the extra mask, the mask on top of mask, the long gown. And despite her efforts, Delta got that Delta tricky enough to bypass all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, she's social distanced, not letting any of her family and friends come visit her, and she still get the COVID-19.
Yeah. You know,
it tells how strong this variant is and how concerned we as behemoths must be. Because if you're catching the bus, the public transportation, more than likely you can catch corona.
Yeah.
You know, if you go into any city market, a food store, despite the spray at the door, more than likely, if you pick up that can of tuna and put it back, you're spreading
the COVID-19. It is that drastic, and we got to get in our heads that more than likely a large number of behemoths will catch COVID because of this particular variant and how it's progressive in terms of its spreading, and that we now need to protect ourselves or be twice as cautious, as cautious, because this variant is a killer.
Yeah, I think it's because it's so aggressive, easy to spread. Those persons who are in that dangerous zone are more susceptible to catching it. When you talk about 20-year-olds, it got to be more about the health thing now, right? It got to be more about your health, the state of your well-being, right? Like, how healthy are we? 20-year-olds? Someone says we need to shut the world down.
And we did that already. And we know we can't do that no more.
I don't think we can handle it anymore. So let's see
And Nahaja, I also want to know which hospital are these people dying from? So I can go to the next one.
The hospital they dying at it. Apparently they're dying all over the place.
But I wouldn't have the statistics. So the probability if I go to this one, is more than likely, if you have COVID, you can see, I like numbers. They need to give me the numbers to say which hospital to stay away from.
But maybe the critical care ones are going to one place versus the other. You never know. We got a lot of questions. We got C.A. Nuri, Dwayne Sands. Dr. Dwayne Sands will be joining us on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black Guardian Radio. We'll be back right after this.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. My text line is blowing up. My good friend C.A. Nuri is with us. And then, of course, my special, now they call Doc the recurring guest on the show, Doc. I don't pay recurring guest, Doc, but I think you're good. I think you're good. Dr. Dwayne Sands joining me on the show. Hi, Doc. How are you?
Good afternoon. How's everybody?
Everybody's great. It's good to see you.
Can you hear me? Oh, Lord.
Finally,
okay.
We can hear you now. It's good to see you now, Doc. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us. Dr. Dwayne Sands joining us. Doc, well, you know, one of the things, and I got tons of questions for you. We got text messages for you, so thank you for the time. One of the things that you said recently, Doc, and why I wanted you on the show was that we're in, obviously, you were prophetic. And I know you wouldn't call it prophetic, but I wanted to throw it out there since CA keeps making these connections with church. But that when you were on the show some 2 weeks ago, you said we will be heading towards 200 a day. Just last week, we hit, I think, we eclipsed 200 to 218 positive cases. We have trended downward slightly. But when you and I spoke briefly after that, you said if it's saying 200 a day, we're more likely in 600, 700 a day reality. Give folks an idea. Why did you predict 200 a day? You ended up being right. Why did you say now with me privately that we probably are in a more realistic number of 600, 700 positive cases a day?
Well, you know, the healthcare workers are probably, and we've used this term before, the canaries in the mine. So we see what's happening as people come to the clinics, to the emergency rooms with cough, with fever, with their persons under investigations or PY. And the numbers were increasing dramatically. So when you looked at the confirmed cases, you realized that that was not a realistic reflection of what we were seeing in the emergency room. Then when you started to see the hospital beds fill up, the ICU beds fill up, and you watch the inexorable climb, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Now we're up to 129, 130 patients admitted to hospital. The realization is that this is happening because of rampant community spread. And there are models that look at confirmed cases and what confirmed cases represent in terms of actual cases. And some of the modeling suggests that the actual number of cases in the Bahamas right now could be as much as 1,000 cases a day.
Whoa. And you showed me one of those models, you know.
That is...
Go ahead, Doc.
That is very much what we are experiencing. So when you look at the impact on maternity, when you look at the impact on children, the fact that we have now, for all intents and purposes, canceled all elective procedures, all elective admissions across the country, private and public. It is easy for people to now start looking to see where do we lay blame. This is not about blame, Nahaja. I think this is how do we now collectively as a people come together and say, okay, this is bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. We have to deal with this. And we literally have to figure out how we're going to work together to solve what is an existential problem for the Bahamas.
Dr. Dwayne Sands joining us on the show. Doc, well, here's now where we are. One of the things also, before I get to my question on the way forward, one of the things you brought up, which was very concerning to me, and a reality. So it sat with me and it hit me. During this whole year of the pandemic, one of the things that we've heard a lot of, and these stories that are painful, is the challenges with maternity and the maternity ward at the hospital during COVID. I myself, right before the hospital closed, shut down at doctors, after leaving on Wednesday, the hospital shut down because of a COVID flare-up on Friday at Doctor's Hospital. I have friends who had their child during this time and they couldn't see their spouses. We've heard from you, even in recent days, that women who are pregnant are at a different level of risk, right, with COVID-19 or from COVID-19. And that, to me, stuck out because this is already stressful. A lot of husbands, boyfriends, fiancés are stressed out leaving their spouse or their significant other. And this is one of those happy times, but it is troubling as well. We know we have RN nurses from the maternity ward who have fell ill and died from COVID-19. What is, let's talk about this. Let's talk about pregnant women and COVID-19 in the Bahamas. What is the state of this?
So to give you a sobering statistic, right now on one of our maternity units, major maternity units in the country, yesterday, every single delivering mother was COVID positive. Every single one.
Okay? Wow.
Now, if you look at the national maternal mortality statistics, the Bahamas has been doing relatively well with no more than 3 or 4 maternal deaths per year. Mm-hmm. Okay. Since the start of COVID, in the public sector, we've had just shy of 100 pregnant COVID-positive mothers. And in the private sector, maybe 25 or so.
Wow.
6 maternal deaths already.
Wow.
So that gives you an idea of the severity of this problem and the impact on the perception of the state of health in the country. And so we are watching hospitalizations, we are watching death of older people, we're now watching death of pregnant women, we're watching death of children, and very recently we have seen children younger than 18 critically ill in an intensive care setting from COVID. That is how bad this is. And the message is to people, get vaccinated and understand the role that you need to play in terms of social distancing, mask wearing, hand sanitization, and then repeat. Do it over and over and stop being tied up on each other, particularly when you're drinking and carousing. If we understand that we are all collectively responsible for this, then as you drive around and you see party here, party there, party elsewhere, we can't afford that, whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, because vaccinated people spread COVID too.
Yeah. Dr. Dwayne says,
you want to let go. We've been dealing with COVID for too long, 18 months. I'm tired of this foolishness, man. You know, y'all can't be serious. It is not over yet.
Were any of those persons, any of the pregnant, so first of all, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja, Black Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Dr. Dwayne Sands joining us here, and you're my co-host today. Were any of those persons, or these women, and you talk about six maternal deaths already, were any of them vaccinated? That's a question that has come up. People are asking, were any of these persons who are critically ill and dying, any of these young, well, you know, the young people aren't vaccinated, but were any, was anyone vaccinated of these pregnant women?
I am advised that none of them were fully vaccinated. And I believe that a number of persons have spoken, Dr. Forbes has spoken to it, Mary Walker has spoken to it, the managing director of the PHA has spoken to it, that the serious illnesses that we're seeing in the Bahamas right now, we're seeing almost exclusively among the unvaccinated, okay? And the narrative really that we ought to be refining is that vaccination isn't going to stop you from getting infected, nor is vaccination going to stop you from transmitting COVID, but it is highly, 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 highly likely to stop you from dying or being hospitalized. And what's bizarre about Delta is that Delta is taking out people in their 20s and their 30s and even children. And I'm talking about the Bahamas now. I'm not talking about all over the world.
Even and you said children. It around. Children.
So, yes. I mean, you know, we've lost a child in the Bahamas, at least one. And it is my hope that the case that I'm referring to, but for the protection of the identity of the family and the patient, I'm not going to say much more. But we have some very, very ill children with COVID. Wow. And now the suggestion is that we're having adults bringing COVID home to children.
And this is... And
so this, when you want to go party and hang out with this one that you don't know and that one that you don't know, you have no idea what you're bringing home.
Dr. Dwayne Sands joining us. Some big revelations here for me. I don't know, and I think my audience as well. When you're talking, and we're talking about also, you know, pregnancy, COVID-19, its effects on pregnant women and mothers and children now. Let me ask you this, Doc, because you mentioned, again, you said young children, young people, 18 under, critically ill. When did this change? When did we begin to see this change? Is it all because of a different variant? Or is this something that was happening, but because it was not as bad as it is before, as it is now, maybe that's why it's more pervasive? What are we talking about, even in numbers?
We are seeing it now with this wave. And, you know, you would have heard repeatedly that we have not had laboratory confirmation of the Delta variant being present in the Bahamas, right? And notwithstanding the lack of that laboratory confirmation, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
Yeah.
There's no reason to believe that if 94% of the identified species of COVID in South Florida and along the Eastern Corridor is Delta, that it's going to be something else in the Bahamas. It is highly, highly unlikely that we are walking down a different phylotypic pathway in the Bahamas than everybody else in the world. So Delta is here. And when you look at the hospitals and you look at the fact that we are scrambling to find nurses, scrambling to find a place to put people, moving to try and find ventilators and high flow machinery. It is horrible, horrible right now. We are experiencing what they experienced in Italy, what they experienced in New York, what they experienced in India, although as severe, but we don't know where this thing is headed. And so the message has to be over and over and over. Go get vaccinated, but adhere rigidly to all of the public health interventions that work. They work. Washing your hands works. Wearing a mask works. Now, when I say wearing it, I ain't talking about wearing it like this, okay? You have to wear it over your nose and mouth.
Is there any particular mask that we should be getting?
So now this makes for a very interesting conversation because the subtleties of masks has been no longer interesting or sexy conversation, okay? Multi-layer masks, and if you can find surgical masks, then certainly you should consider wearing it. A single layer mask provides you with a little protection, but not much. A two layer mask, obviously more, but that's no longer fun conversation in the Bahamas. Because as far as we're concerned, you know, masks are yesterday's story, eh? So that's so yesterday.
But a good mask will save your life, a good quality one. And when do you throw it away? When do you throw it away? Because I think a lot of people hold on to masks. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's awfully expensive to buy surgical masks. Mm-hmm. But you can get a whole week's supply of cloth masks, multi-layer cloth masks, and wash them each day. What you don't want to do is just keep wearing it and wear that stink mask over and over and over. Because it probably is more of a hazard to you to wear that thing without washing it. And that's kind of nasty, too.
I got tons of questions. Dr. Dwayne Sands joining us. But we have a call on the line. Let me see if the caller is still there. And then, Doc, we'll get to some of these text messages as well. Caller, you're on the head back. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, caller. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Sands. This is Simeon. How are you?
Hey, Simeon Hall. How are you, sir?
Very well.
Hi, Bishop.
Hi, Mr. Naja. Since we have failed with convincing people that vaccination is the best of all the ways we have, don't you think we should just close down the country for 1 week?
Lockdowns.
That's an excellent question, and I am not going to run from it. I have said that we need more restrictive measures. How restrictive, how far you should go. Clearly, the more you lock down, you buy some time to reset the clock. And this, the decision making is a very tough one. So I believe we need to tighten the restrictions and to increase the enforcement. But most importantly, I believe that all of us need to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, are we truly being responsible? So personal responsibility plays a big, big, big role, as does enforcement.
In a crisis, the
restrictive measures.
Go ahead, Bishop.
I'm sorry, Bishop. I didn't hear
the statistics are showing that we are not being the very responsible people. My brother down the road, my people in my house, I have an obligation, a personal obligation to protect them. But since I won't do it, then maybe we can't make it mandatory that a person takes a shot. I understand the legal part. But why not just close down for a week and bite the bullet? That's what I'll listen to what you say, Doc.
Thank you so much. Bishop Simeon Hall was on the phone there just now. I think that's the next question. Go ahead, Doc. Dr. Dwayne Sands.
No, Aja and CA, I think one of the things that I've been accused of is being a plain speaking person, okay? Mm-hmm. And I prefer to tell people the truth, because oftentimes in my line of business, you have to give people the hard, cold facts. And you got to tell it like it is. This is the way it is. I'm going to have to cut off your leg. If I don't cut off your leg, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes people say, boy, how you could talk like that? If you don't give people the facts, then sometimes they walk out believing that everything is fine. Mm-hmm. It is not to be fear-mongering. It is not to be exaggerating. It's just the facts. This is what we see happening. This is where we are. And where we are right now, we are in a horrible place. A horrible place.
You know, and what I have...
likely to get worse before it gets better.
What I haven't heard, and CA, you can tell me you feel the same way. What has changed in the beginning of this thing, Dr. Dwayne Sands, CA Nuri, we were always hearing flatten the curve. Now we know the curve is high. The curve, and I have to ask this question before I even go any further, Doc, is this the worst you've ever seen it?
I think it speaks for itself. Yes, this is as bad as it's been. Not necessarily only because of the numbers, but because the resources are exhausted. And when I speak about the most important resources, it is the human capital. Our nurses are on their knees. They are dog tired. Many of them have worked 16 hours a day, day in and day out, without a break. Vacations canceled.
So then,
doctors exhausted.
Well, then it leads to this
ambulance
question.
Ambulance drivers exhausted.
Because, and forgive me, and I wanted to ask it before we take a commercial break, then it leads me to this. We're not talking about the curve anymore, about the need to flatten it. And that was the argument every time for the lockdowns, right? Or so is the curve higher? Is it just as high as the second wave, or is it not? Because then that would mitigate or explain why we're not talking about lockdown. Is lockdown no longer a solution that was effective? Are we admitting that it didn't work?
Lockdowns clearly have to be a part of the options. Whether you pull that trigger or not pull that trigger is dependent on the anticipated and unanticipated sequelae. And be prepared not only for flattening the curve, but the horrendous impact that you will have on your country otherwise. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about lockdowns, yes, they work. Believe me, they work. But they have massive unintended consequences from which you may not recover. And so even as you move to more and more restrictions, understand that the negative side of this is also deadly. The economic impact of COVID and your response to COVID can be deadly. So you want to do enough as quickly as you can.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Dr. Dwayne Sands joining us, CA Nuri joining us as well. We'll be back after this. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We'll be back right after this.
Rejuvenate, refresh, treat. yourself. Immerse yourself in total comfort. Pamper yourself. After all, you're worth it. Relax. Rid yourself of all life stresses. At Baja Retreat Anti-Aging Spa, you will find everything you need to enhance your body and spirit. Call today at 323-6711 and begin your journey to serenity at Baja Retreat Anti-Aging Spa.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas
for just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC Superfast Fiber Internet with speed starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or BTCBahamas.com. Conditions apply.
When I got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live. At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of the family. I'm going on with my life. That's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We have joining us good friends, Dr. Dwayne Sands and C.A. Nuri joining us on the show. But I think we have a caller here. But we'll get to the caller, but I had some great text questions that I have to do with two callers. Then we get to these text questions, Doc, because you've started a firestorm. Caller, you're on The Hit Back. Welcome.
Hi, Nahaja. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm good, man. Long time no see. Long time we hear from. Hey, Dwayne, how you doing? Dr. Dwayne, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Yeah, this is
right
big
here,
brother.
Right here. How are you?
This is big brother.
I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, I wake you up and see. I ask them. They don't know nothing but the GNN. And see, and that's why I mean you to be on the same level, because you speak the truth and be straight up fun and educate the people. You see, I watched Mr. Van Van Moe go on another talkie show talking all kind of nonsense. Now, he knows what's been. See, we need to stop this bunch of politicizing everything in this country. Our country had a crisis. We need to bring new money in this country. The government ain't fired no civil servant twins. Nobody getting to salary cut. Anybody getting paid on time. He's trying to fix the country. What do people want, man? Don't make anything politicized, man, Dwayne. And you know how we carry on in the GNN. Because we're not in the GNN, that's finished with, and that's friendship and there. See, what I'm saying now is this country is a rich country. We've had a $500 million for a long time. So when we had a lottery, we'll be able to take care of athletes. Oh, as a matter of fact, congratulations to Shawnee Miller and Stephen Gardner.
Yep.
The Bahamas not great, Nahaja.
Yep.
That's my job. See, what we need to do, hey, today make anything politicized in this country. And Dwayne is a good man. No. Mr. Sands is a good young man. He know where he's coming from. This country needs to be fixed. We cannot shed the country on Dwayne. Where is we Dwayne? We sanitize, we social distance, we got our masks, we buy masks. People don't walk in the streets now. We cannot shed the country down. We need to bring in the new monies. We're trying to get the infrastructures in there. We're trying to build houses. We're trying to do things to get this country unfixed. This country is at a curfew right now. I be home at 8 o'clock every day. I came home early because I was here with the boys got to say today. And I hope we don't shut this country down. The policemen them need to do their job. The cover people need a job. And I sorry for the noises because I got sisters and these sisters noises that was well doing. I feel their pain. But they're signing up for them things. Stop complaining. You got to wake. Dwayne, please wake up. Dwayne, you wake up so hard. You're one of the best in the world, Dwayne, and you can take the beating. And I don't send them more drink because they know I get short ways and I start cussing. Thanks for my call, Nahaja.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I think we have another caller here on the line. Caller, you're on The Hit Back. Welcome.
Hi, Nahaja. Thanks for taking my call, Ms. Nuri and Dr. Sands. Good afternoon. My first question is, remember, I called last week with a suggestion about space.
Yes.
About I wanted to ask the doctor, Sands, what would be your suggestion? Because it appears as if COVID is here to stay. Now, it might go up, and then it may go down, but it's here to stay, and we can't continue to have persons in the situations that they were in and still are in on the porch waiting for an area to accommodate them. Okay, that's my first question. Now, I want to say something that may sound a bit controversial, but we can handle it. We're big girls and boys. But what I want to say is, Dr. Sands, if you were offered the to go back in as Minister of Health, would you go? Because I think you're so well known. You have so much knowledge as to what's going on, the stats and everything. You don't have to take the time out to read over something or for someone to stand over your shoulder and explain and break things down for you because you're not a doctor. I think the now sitting minister should go back to I think he's an engineer, and help try and make arrangements for a new facility to house patients. And I think you need to step back if you were offered or you know, to get back as Minister of Health. And thank you so much for your service. Thanks, Nahasha.
No problem. Thank you for the call. I'm seconding. I mean, this is not political at all, but Doc, I like that idea too. I think the Prime Minister in his speech tonight may suggest such. And let me know when he calls. But to the caller's first question.
I think we all need to be prepared to step up to the plate, to play whatever role this country requires of us. And there are a number of ways that we can play pivotal roles in this fight. So let's not second guess the process. Let's not second guess certainly the competent authority or the Prime Minister, but let us all commit to doing whatever we can. I have only one country, only one. I have no other passport. I don't swear allegiance to any other country, and I don't intend to. Mm-hmm. And I've got to do what I can, and I hope that as Nahasha does, as she does, do everything to make this country better.
Dr. Duane Sands joining us on the show. C.A. Nuri, who's invisible at the moment for some reason. He's just nicely quiet. I don't know what that's about, but we'll go with that for now. We got tons of, and someone says, excellent answer to you, Doc. Okay. So I have tons of questions that I want to get to, Dr. Duane Sands. Any reason why we've gone full throttle with AstraZeneca when our neighbors in the U.S. want nothing to do with it?
That's a very good question and a very easy question to answer. You use what you could get. And I know that people believe that the Bahamas has access to Pfizer, Moderna, this, that, the other thing, Johnson & Johnson, and we do not. The wealthy countries put in their orders. They paid their money. And from even before the vaccines were available. And so this is not an issue of saying that we want to have it. It is, they have contractual obligations to provide vaccines to Spain, to Italy, to the UK, to the United States, to Canada, et cetera. And then all the rest countries, we'll deal with y'all when we finish with these obligations. So AstraZeneca is the vaccine of the world, used in 166 countries. It is singularly the single most used COVID vaccine in the entire world.
Mm. No, but now there were reports, Doc, that we had companies here who made requests to the Office of the Prime Minister to bring in other vaccines, and they were not responded to. And so that has also been alleged, and that this that the OPM has just not, you know, relinquish that authority. Any information on that?
I don't have any pertinent or reliable information other than I've heard the same stories.
Okay. We have two callers on the line. Let's see if we can get to the callers because, I have tons of text messages. But let's get to the call. Caller, you're on the head back. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Ms. Black.
Good afternoon.
Sparky here. Good afternoon, Doc. Hello.
Go right ahead, Sparky.
Good afternoon, Sparky. How are you?
Yeah. After listening to everything, I heard JJ and everything. I heard JJ mention the money and the this and that and the next. But there was an incident that I heard the other day where a doctor told a lady that he found out had cancer, that she needed to take in the radiation. First thing she told the doctor, but she's afraid she's going to lose her hair. The doctor said, before losing your hair or your life. JJ was talking about all the money we need. We need to bring in new monies and this and that and the next. The hospitals are full. The doctors and the nurses are all their needs. They're tired. The morgue is full. Nobody got money to even bury their dead. People losing their jobs. They losing their lives. They losing their apartments, their homes, their cars, and everything. Because of this COVID, it is spreading rapidly. What we need to do, and I believe I'm not listening to JJ, and I thank you, Mr. Dr. Sands, for your outrightness and your truth. If we have to shut this country down for 2 weeks, we have to do a rail shutdown. Give people time enough to get their monies and get their food and stock down and stay home with your family. We can't do those fakey shutdowns when we know the front of the bar closed, but you could go to the back door of the bar and full up with liquor every day because we know who own most of these bars. Okay? We can't be the one having fish fry open and partying. We can't have Porterski open and partying. Yeah. We can't have street parties. We can't have anything. If we got to lock them up, whether they're friends, families, or lovers, a lockdown means a lockdown, and we got to lock down. We got to kill the virus, and the only way the doctor... We got to social distance. We got to clean ourselves. We got to sanitize. And when we do, we got give us chance to feed ourselves and lock down and make sure to police them. If you got to arrest your mother.
Yeah. I won't lie. My mother might get arrested. A woman don't need like getting locked down. I would have to call the popo on my ma, my good ma, Dr. Dwayne Sands. You want to say something, Doc?
That's my good constituent. That's my good constituent. Leave her alone.
She should be happy. She'll hear this right now, and she's probably smiling, saying, "That's my good MP." But we have some other questions for Doc. We have a caller. Let's get this caller quickly. Caller, sorry, just go right into the question for me because we're short on time. Caller, you're on the hit back. Welcome. Hi, caller, you're on the air. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Nahaja. Hi, CA. This is Antoinette. Dr. Sands, I'm in your constituent. I have a question, and it may be a question and a statement, but I need clarity, please. I know all over Europe right now, I know France, they're doing riots for protesting against masks. A mandate for vaccines, and in the U.S. they are trying to implement mandate for vaccination, right? But I know that in most of Europe, all you have to present is your PCR test, and you can present facts like an antibody test to prove that you've already had COVID recently within the past 3 months, and you can present a PCR test to prove that you had COVID. And they will let you in. My question to you is, I know there are different variants, but why, if we know Bahamians are not trying to get vaccinated, and we know the numbers are skewed, we know it, why aren't we allowing persons to present a PCR test to show that they had COVID, or an antigen test? I know that Bonaventure Labs offer antigen tests. Why are we not supplementing those tests through NHI, even if it's just the antigen, which is $45, the antibody test, sorry. The antibody test will say who had COVID, even if they didn't get a test in the beginning. And this is what I'm understanding. We don't know how long the vaccine lasts in the body because they're talking about booster. And we don't know how long antigen lasts in the body. saying that there's no proof as to how long either will last. Some saying the AstraZeneca may last up to a year. Some saying that natural immunity after you've had COVID could be forever. Nobody knows. So you have to keep testing with the antibody test. So if Bahamians are not willing to get vaccinated, shouldn't we allow people to walk around with an antibody test every 30 days and say, okay, you've already had COVID, check it every month. If you don't have any antibodies next month, you have to get vaccinated. Those who are sickly and have pre-existing conditions, okay, you need to get a vaccine. Okay? We're strongly advising that you get a vaccine. If not, you have to go and get an antibody test that is free through NHI. And if you have no antibodies, we have to warn you that if you end up in the emergency room, we've already warned you. And register these people as to who were warned. But we need to do something else besides push the vaccine narrative. I know vaccines are very important. It's very controversial right now. But persons are not doing it. So if they're not doing that, we know thousands already had COVID. Just offer the antibody test and call it a day. And make sure everybody tests every month. And I'll hang up to listen.
Thank you so much, Antoinette. Okay, Doc?
So, Cola, antibody tests have not been found to be helpful for anything other than mass public health screening. It is a useful tool to determine exposure of large populations, but in terms of individual patients, it is not a very helpful tool to determine when people are infectious, when they can transmit, and so on and so forth. I think it is, we need to have a major shift in public policy and perhaps to make, certainly at the very least, antigen testing available at less expense to the average Bahamian. And if we say, you know, how cheap? For some people, it ought to be free. And for many, it should be free. It will probably get more people to test without the financial challenge of deciding whether to pay for food, pay for rent, put gas in the car, or get tested for COVID. And having that information may change behavior. Obviously, the state would have to determine the cost-benefit analysis or the value proposition of such a major, major, major change. But it is a model that is used in other countries, particularly in the UK. So we've got to look at these things now. And my vote would be to make antigen testing more available for more people at either very little cost or no cost.
Dr. Dwayne Sands joining us, C.A. Nuri, my co-host, joining as well. Any place where we can get statistical data. If you're just tuning in, for the record, if you're just tuning in, some salient things, major, I think, bits of information Dr. Dwayne Sands has shared with us with regard to this pandemic. One, the numbers with our pregnant women, mortality rates with COVID during COVID time, the amount of mothers recent. And I think you said, Doc, yesterday, all of the mothers that gave birth yesterday at PMH were COVID positive. Just to confirm that.
I didn't say PMH.
Sorry.
I specifically did not name the institution. And I'm not going to name the institution.
That was fast.
It is. It is a major maternity facility.
Okay, a major maternity facility, not necessarily the one I named, right? Where all delivering mothers were COVID positive yesterday.
So we have some 129 COVID positive patients in country, in hospital. Mm-hmm. Think about that. When you realize that Princess Margaret Hospital now probably down about 350 beds, the Rand Memorial Hospital probably about 45 beds, and then you have the Samaritan's Purse, you have Doctors Hospital, which the entire system is probably 80, 90 beds, the doctors west, doctors east.
Mm-hmm.
129 patients out of that total number is a huge number of people with COVID. And they are sucking, this disease is sucking the wind out of the care of everybody else. So elective surgery, no more. Giving birth is a different experience now. It was already challenging because, you know, having your partner share an experience is an important part of giving birth. Now, that definitely can't happen. And so we need to take stock and ask, at what point in time should a pregnant woman go into isolation so that she ain't exposed to her mm-hmm. infected friend or her infected sister or brother or what have you? Mm-hmm. Because we know that these persons who are pregnant and COVID positive are more likely to die, and that the pregnancy outcomes, they tend to have premature labor, and the pregnancy outcomes are not very good. Now, the overwhelming majority do well, but some don't do very well. And we have to now, if we say that we are not prepared to do all these other things, then maybe we need to change how we deal with pregnancy. These are some of the issues that are coming up in this country today. And I know that there is a team at both Doctors and Princess Margaret Hospital, Dr. Griffith Bowe is the professional in charge of managing the COVID pregnant women in the Princess Margaret Hospital, and they're doing an incredible job. You have Dr. Bram, who's now Chief of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Princess Margaret Hospital. They are dealing with some unique challenges. And I don't think as a people we understand how our own personal behavior makes providing care that much more difficult.
Let me ask you, Dr. Sands, are there...
What do impacts...
And I want to ask this question real quick, because we're running out of time. Someone asked, are there any options for breastfeeding or pregnant mothers? Can pregnant women, would you recommend them taking the vaccine? Should they not take the vaccine? Will they be offered Pfizer? Should they, like you suggested, just isolate? What suggestions would you give to pregnant mothers at this point?
So in my reading and in advice that I've received, the vaccine is acceptable for pregnant and or nursing mothers. But speak to your obstetrician, speak mm-hmm. to your healthcare provider, your midwife, and they would give you probably better information than I could give you. But certainly you need to have that conversation. Pfizer will be in country. I've used this word so much now, people associated with me, directly, soon directly, we're gonna have Pfizer in country. It is believed sometime this month, but the supply lines for the COVAX international facility has been modified over and over and over and over. So what we would have thought would be the timeline for getting Pfizer in country, we got to wait until they say, okay, we're going to send you your Pfizer next week, next month, whatever.
Dr. Dwayne Sands, Doc, final question for you. School is to reopen in August, right? School is to reopen at the end of the month, beginning of next month. And I'm interested in what would be your suggestion for its reopening, COVID protocols? What would you suggest? We were talking earlier about vaccinating or vaccines for children. I am not one that's interested for anyone under 12 in my house for no vaccine. But CA ready to shoot everybody in the arm. What do you say to that? What should be, where do you think we will be come at the end of this month? And what should we be doing as a healthcare situation for COVID?
I'm with you. I don't believe that there have been any robust studies that demonstrate safety and efficacy in vaccination of children 12 and under, okay? And certainly I would not vaccinate my 12-year-old or under 12, sorry. Now, older than that, I have no problem with that, even though in the informed consent process has to be very robust. Remote learning is tough. It is tough for the parents, it's tough for the children, and denial of face-to-face education leads to serious impairment of the educational process. So we've got to make education happen in the Bahamas face-to-face this year. Obviously, that means that we got an awful lot of work to do, and I know the Minister of Education is working very hard, and the Director of Education, and the teachers, and so on and so forth. But it's more than just not getting an education. It may be not even getting a good meal or being exposed to some behavior at home that is unhealthy for our children. And so the surrogate benefits of education, the actual benefits of education, I think we need to push to get to a safe educational process in those schools around the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Ivermectin, hydrochloroquine, two highly discussed options of people saying these are uses, you can use them to treat COVID-19. What are your thoughts on those?
I think hydroxychloroquine we can dispense with immediately. There's no benefit. It is probably harmful and should not be used in the management of COVID.
Oh, wow.
The data on ivermectin is not as cut and dry. There are ongoing trials looking at efficacy. What we can say at this point is that it may be beneficial, it may be harmful, but we don't have the robust randomized data yet. There are some very, very strong meta-analysis that suggests that ivermectin ought to have no place in the treatment of COVID-19, but that is probably premature.
Well, I'll just tell you, Doc, just full disclosure, I used ivermectin. I thought it helped, but maybe it helped along with all them other things I was taking as well anyway. But Dr. Dwayne Sands, Doc, for the record, I just want you to know, people are asking you questions as if you're the Minister of Health. I just want you to see how this playing out now. They don't ask. I hope that listening to the speech tonight, Dr. Dwayne Sands, thank you so much. Member of Parliament for Elizabeth. Appreciate you, Doc. Thank you so much for the time.
It's a pleasure. Have a good evening. Take care.
Take care. All right. C.A. Nuri, we got to go. Your thoughts real quick.
I'm just waiting for what the Prime Minister is going to say. All airs and all TVs lead to the Prime Minister. So we just wait.
Yeah, let's see what happens. Tune in tomorrow, everybody. C.A. Nuri, thank you so much. Appreciate you, buddy. Dr. Dwayne Sands, special thanks to him for showing and giving us his time and talent. Everyone, you're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. See you tomorrow. We're out.